Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson. Welcome to the show. Today I'm speaking with Graham Bibby. Graham is the founder of The Insiders Club. He is an investment professional with over 35 years of study of what makes markets move and the study of how a few make millions while most lose their money. Graham is sought after investment expert at investment forums around the world, plus TV and radio programs such as CNBC Bloomberg. Graham is an entrepreneur and an author of the book Master Your Mind, Master Your Money, and has a new one out shortly, The Truth Behind the Investment Game. So welcome, Graham.
Thank you.
I'd like to start off by just getting a bit of background on you. So could you give us a brief outline of where you started?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, originally I'm from the UK, from the southwest of England. I lived in a small place which turned out to be a retirement location for a lot of people from the UK. And I came from a pretty humble background. Parents lived in government housing, but I always had this desire to do something to do with money. And my immediate family had no exposure to that. So first of all, I was driven to get out of the area that I lived in because there was a few adverse things there as a child. So I did all sorts of things from scrubbing floors to washing dishes to delivering milk to save to buy my first house at 21, which I immediately put into five little apartments and kind of moved on from there. I built a few houses in England. I had several different types of businesses, but always had this earning to do with something to do with money. And I started off by joining the Prudential way back in the 70s. Was very keen on, when I get involved in something, I get very keen on getting to know the nitty gritty. And I knew that in 1972 to 74, the UK stock market had actually fallen 86%, which was wiping off 25 years worth of profit. And what always stuck in the back of my mind was, as a green new boy asking the Prudential boys what happened to our managed fund, and they said, oh, you don't really need to know about that. But when I researched it, it had fallen slightly more than 86%. So I was a bit confused why it was called managed and it had fallen 86%. Many years later, in the early 80s, I started my own financial planning company. And this thing about the 86% loss always stuck in the back of my head. I really wanted to find out, what makes markets move. How come some people make millions and billions out of the stock market, but the majority lose? And then I found out there was a game behind the game. And that sort of progressed my quest, if you like, to find out what the rich people do that most other people don't do. And then in the early 90s, after the 87 stock market crash and people's aversion to stocks, I decided the world's wealth was moving to Asia. And I actually moved to Hong Kong in 1991. And I've been in Asia and in Australia, as well as Asia, basically for the last 25 years.
Right. That's a lot of experience. And you certainly have come from humble background and you're very inspirational, your story. So what are you doing now and what inspired you? I believe you're writing a series of books to empower people. So can you tell us about that, please?
Yes. Well, along the way, besides building houses, I built some houses in Perth. I've done some investments in Adelaide, Gold Coast and things, where I'm buying undervalued properties myself and with some of my clients. I built a resort in Phuket, which was great, a 92 private pool villa resort. It was all about mindset and focusing on the outcome that you want to achieve, not worrying about the nitty-gritty first, just being convinced about the outcome. But in 2010, I basically stepped out of doing investments and whatever because I was convinced to write a book. And the first book was going to be How to Really Trade the Stock Market, because most people do completely the opposite of what they should do to make money. And they do that led in some degree by the rich, the famous, the big conglomerates, because the market, in my view, is set up to make the rich richer. And to do that, you need to take it off the masses. So once you know there's a game behind the game, it is relatively simple, although not easy. So I decided to start writing some books. But when I was writing my first book, which I didn't get published in the end, I decided it's all about mindset. So my first book is called Master Your Mind, Master Your Money. And, you know, what is wealth? And, you know, what is the reason of life and happiness? Because I think a lot of my wealthier clients in Asia, expats, you know, who are accumulating money, they were stuck in the rat race. You know, they're in jobs they didn't like. They couldn't get off the gravy train because of the money they earned. So I wanted to, first of all, start off with people's mindsets. My most recent book is The Truth Behind the Investing Game, because I want to explain to people there's one fundamental thing, more than anything, that rich people take care of that the masses don't seem to. And really to take the veil off the investment world, if you like. And I started something called the Insiders Club a couple of years ago, because I've really been on the inside, if you like. I know what the institutions do. I've talked at big seminars. I've been on the stage with the head of Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank, regularly on Bloomberg, CNBC, from anything from 5 minutes to a couple of hours. And I've spoken at hedge fund conferences, and I know what the big boys do. And if anybody's followed anything to do with the more recent global financial crisis, they can see that a lot of those companies have semi been brought to task because, you know, some of the big giants, and I guess I better not mention their name, they were selling books of investments that they held in their name to their clients because they wanted to get out. And they actually took a position the opposite of their clients and profited from it. And their clients lost, you know, most, if not all of their money. And no one seems to have done anything about it. So I've got a bit of a quest to help people in that respect. And along with that, then you know, when you get a bit older in life, to look to give back. So I have this dream of having a room full of thousands of my Insider Club members, and to bring children that we've helped around the world with food, shelter, water, education along, and to get people to connect. So, so my Insider Club's been growing quite well. And funnily enough, without really any effort, it's been growing organically, if that's the right word, in Australia, because a lot of people here are self-managed super funds. And the Australian stock market has not been that great over the last few years, mainly because of what's happened to the mining and resources sector.
I see. Where do most people go wrong, do you think, with investing?
Well, first of all, they don't sit down and have a plan. What are they trying to achieve? Plan, what's the strategy? And
the key to long-term successful and profitable returns is not how much you make when you're right. It's how little you lose when you're wrong. Or should I say, when the trend moves against you? Because it's not a case of being right or wrong. It's a case of having a proven system, a proven methodology. My superior performance has really been achieved by not staying invested during declines, such as the one in 2000 to 2003, called the tech wreck, and the recent global financial crisis in 2007 to 2008. On both occasions, stock markets around the world fell 50% and more. By moving out, you're able to buy back in at much lower prices, making great returns, whilst others stay invested until they feel so much pain that they need to get out of the market, usually at the bottom. The secret to success is to cut your losses and run your profits.
So at the end of the day, I've got this saying, the trend is your friend. I used to be the chairman of the Technical Analyst Society, so I know how to read charts. And a chart just tells you supply and demand. And if the chart's in a nice upward trend, you need to be in the early stages, you were making money. And if it's in a downward trend, then we're losing money. So it's simple, but not easy. And I also noticed that some of the richest people in the world could be what you call crisis investors, where they look to invest after a crisis, whereas the majority of people tend to want to invest when everyone else is talking about it, you know, when the taxi driver is giving you a punt to what to buy. And after a crisis, people run to cash and then don't want to invest.
They lose their confidence.
They lose their confidence because, you know, back in the 80s, I was sat in my office one day looking at all the research blurb that comes from these various companies. And I had Fidelity's, you know, maybe here at Bielekun of AMP or NAB or whatever, all laid on my desk. And I noticed words like, you know, buy, accumulate, long term, but I didn't see the word sell anywhere. So the key is you want to play in the game, but you want to limit your downside. And in today's world, through the internet, I mean, I subscribe to about a dozen independent research companies that stand or fall on how good their research is. So I might have a fundamental reason why something is going to go up, but the chart will tell me if that story is coming real. And then I also track some of the billionaires and some of the smartest brains, what they're doing. For example, the resources sector has been terrible the last 5 years, and in particular, well, all of it, but gold and silver, one thing a lot of people have held, been bad for 5 years. And then in February in 2016, that trend changed. And, you know, it looks like we're in the beginning of a powerful new uptrend. I don't know if people have noticed, but interest rates are falling all around the world. A lot of places, they're negative, which really gets me, really annoys me, because people who didn't invest in the stock market, didn't invest in the property market, if they're relying on their safe, inverted commas, deposits for returns, in Australia, they're getting something, but in most of the Western world, and even Hong Kong, Singapore, etc., they're getting zero, or in some cases, minus. So, if since 2008 you needed 5% income, you know that's sort of, let's say it's 7 years, and you've had to take 5%, and you've had no interest. That means you've had to spend 5% of your money every year. Well, 5 times 7 is 35. 35% of your money's gone, and you didn't even take a risk.
Yeah, the risk is not doing anything.
Correct.
Why do you think there's a lot of people that believe in buying and holding on, and why does that not work in your mind?
Well, buy, hold, and pray, I call it, and you can spell pray with a P-R-A-Y or P-R-E-Y. Now, the question I would ask is, why do the big boys not buy and hold with their own what they call proprietary investments? I can say this without pointing a finger, but Goldman Sachs, for example, is one of the smartest, regarded as one of the smartest investment management companies on the planet. You know, they invest and employ the smartest guys around. But majority of the time, they make more money trading their own money than they do from having clients. And a lot of those big boys, without pointing any fingers, tell clients to buy and hold, yet they move in and they move out. Now, in my seminars, I can show people in on my website and in my Camtasia podcast, if you like, webinars, I show people the effect. You know, let's say you had an investment and it was $100 and the stock market starts going down, so you get out, and even if you lose $10, so you've got 90 left, and the market goes down to 50, which is what it basically done GFC in 2000, 2003, you can't invest at the bottom. But when the stock market starts moving up again, if you reinvest at 60, whereas everyone else is riding the roller coaster, by the time the market gets back to 100 again, you've actually made 60% return. So again, I think it's 2002 to 2010, just using funds, mutual funds, but now I use things called exchange traded funds. These are funds that are listed on the stock market. The world index over that period, because it's going up and down with the roller coaster, made 37%, and I made 395%, or my clients did. And that was because if you keep your dollars intact and exit, you can reinvest. I mean, here in Australia, I remember on one late night business program, one of the investment analysts here last October recommending the banks are really financially strong, the strongest in the world, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. What's the chart doing? Chart's going down. Don't invest. Well, those banks fell 30% between October of last year and March, April of this year. People like BHP, fantastic, great company, and Rio, well, those stocks, you know, the trend is your friend. I mean, they fell 75%. I heard people saying, yeah, but I'm getting a dividend. And what they've done, they've slashed the dividend. So this is a game, and you've got to understand what the big boys are doing. And smaller investors have an advantage over them because the big boys can't move their money around anywhere because they have too much. You know, if you want to buy $100 billion worth of Rio shares or BHP shares, you're going to move the price. So they need most people to stay invested so they can move in and out. And some people ask me, well, why don't they tell their clients to move the cash? If it's so great, why don't they tell their clients to move the cash? And the straight answer is they can't. Because if you manage that weight of money, for example, if you were managing $1 trillion and you tell your clients to go to cash, what's going to happen to the stock market? It's going to crash. So they need people to buy and hold while they can move in and out, in my view, in my observations of study of what these people do over time.
Right. How much importance is there placed in timing the market, or is this just a myth?
No, it is. It's quite clear that you can time the market. There are a lot of reports out there that say you can't time the market. But for example, I remember a number of years ago, Fidelity on their website had a lot of things on there. It's time in the market as opposed to timing the market. Yet, if you then went and researched Fidelity, they employed more technical analysis, and technical analysis analysts follow charts, which means they time the market, than any other company. So, hello, you're telling people it doesn't work. So why do you employ people who do that? So, you know, let's say Rio and the resources sector. I mean, if people could see this, there's a definite trend that was going on since 2011, and that was broken in February. So, as I say, I was the chairman of the Technical Analyst Society of Hong Kong. I taught the diploma. I don't believe you can look at wiggly lines and predict the future. But in the stock market, as with the property market, as with most things, the key to success is knowing supply and demand. If more people want to buy at a given price, it pushes the price up. And if more people want to sell at a given price, it pushes the price down. Now, in Australia, a lot of people feel very confident about property, or did feel very confident about property. But if you were invested, let's say, in the Gold Coast, just before the GFC, Global Financial Crisis, then property had a big hit. It's recovering now. In Western Australia, because of the resources crash, in some areas their property has fallen 50%. Now think about this. If you invest in the stock market, most people use the cash they've got. If you've got 100 grand, you invest 100 grand. But in the property market, if you've got 100 grand, you quite often buy a property that's, you know, 500,000, 600,000. So you're using a thing called leverage. Again, Buffett says one thing, but he times the market. George Soros times the market. If you use leverage and the market falls 50%, so let's say you put 100,000 into a 500,000 property and it drops 50%, you haven't lost 50% on your capital. You've lost 50% on the purchase price, which is 250. So it is important to time the market and to follow those trends.
Thank you. You talk in your book about getting your life back and big thinking, small thinking. So what is your idea about getting your mindset right first about money?
Yeah, it's important that you put money into different boxes, I believe. And also, it can be very stressful. So my mission is to help as many people as possible. So in my Insiders Club, for example, I mean, I track 46 world stock market commodities and I track currencies. So right now, the world is your oyster. You know, you can have an account here in Australia. Money's held there, but you can buy funds that trade around the world. But most people don't have a plan. They don't have a financial plan. They don't have a life plan. And when you actually sit down and you start thinking about your life and putting things in boxes. So I don't think people are a risk profile, for example. You know, am I low risk, high risk, or medium risk? I think you allocate money to different risk profiles. And let's say you had $500,000. You know, you might want to put $200,000-$300,000 in something very low risk. You might want to put something like, you know, $20,000-$30,000 in something that is, inverted commas again, high risk, which is, could be something like private placements. Private placements are like having the opportunity to invest in Facebook before they listed on the stock market. Or more and more people are hearing about Uber, the, inverted commas again, taxi service, or Airbnb, and money processing systems like PayPal. Now, if you'd invested $200,000 in Facebook before it went on the stock market, so it's called a private placement because it's not open to the public, but listed on the stock market. If you invested $200,000, you'd have $2 billion minimum by now. PayPal, $200,000, $2 billion by now. If you put $20,000, just $20,000 in Uber, it'd be worth $2 million now. This is what the smart people do. They allocate money to different risk profiles. And once you have a plan and the final outcome in mind, so, you know, people have got their self-managed supers, I guess, they're wanting financial freedom. They don't have to be self-managed supers. It could be other money, but it's tax efficient, let's put it that way. You know, you might want to visit your grandkids. You might want to go on holidays. You might want to do this and that. And you actually write down a plan of what you want to be achieving in your life. And then you set out goals to either build money or allocate money. You feel really good after you've done that because all of a sudden, you wouldn't drive from Sydney to the Gold Coast without looking at a roadmap or taking out a GPS. So once you've got a plan in place, you feel much more relaxed and confident about life.
I see. That's very good advice. Do you think people sort of just get it wrong when they're spending their money or allocating their money? I see you talk about they fail to plan and they don't even understand what an asset is.
They don't look to have any education in that, sorry to say this, but people spend more time choosing a holiday than they do their financial future. They just think, well, it's going to be all right. You know, it's going to be all right. Well, it ain't going to be all right. This process is simple but not easy. You can't make money against a market that's going down, but you know, as they say, what goes up can go down and what goes down can go up. And again, I know it's not easy. So that's why I decided that through the internet, I can help a lot of different people. You just need to get some financial education over time. It's not that difficult, but you just need to start somewhere. Mm. And you take baby steps. If it really worries you, then you do this in a small way and then you build up from there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get it wrong when they're not used to having money, and if they don't make having money a priority, say for example they won the lottery or they get a big payout from a job that they had, and it's amazing, but some people the first thing they do is they go and buy themselves a new car and don't think about planning for the future.
Yeah, correct. In my book Master Your Mind, Master Your Money, I drilled down because I got a bit more philosophical over the years and spiritual and meaning of life without, you know, getting out there. A lot of times people, again, not completely, they don't know what happiness is, laughter and fun, because we're brainwashed to be on a treadmill. Even the schooling system is, from the Prussian days, designed to be non-thinking. I mean, you think you are thinking, but it was designed to train soldiers and factory workers. So people, all they know is to work hard for money, but they don't know how to get their money working hard for them, which is a bit of a corny saying, but that's what the rich do. They look at where they're going to get their money working for them. Now, there's been quite a successful book out called The 4-Hour Week. I think he did a 4-Hour Body as well, a guy called Tim Ferriss. And then there's another guy that he knows called Peter Thiel. Those guys started off with a couple of hundred thousand, kept most of their money, other money in cash, and invested in these private placements. So their view is they keep 65% in reasonably secure things. And they're 200,000. I think one guy's got $10 billion now. This is in the space of 5 or 6 years. As I say, it's simple, but not easy. Zuckerberg, Facebook, everyone's heard of Facebook now, right? That guy is worth somewhere in the region of $50 billion, or Facebook is 50 or more, maybe $100 billion. And that money was created by photo sharing on the internet. Money can be created now faster than at any time in history. You just need to know where to go, and you don't bet the ranch on one idea, because I have a saying, you only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. But we do know about asset allocation and risk and reward. So it is possible. I'm hoping quite a number of people regain losses that they've made and holding their hands. Because after you made the loss and you get out, which a lot of people did at the end of 2008, they were down 30, 40, 50% and thought, I've got to get out of here. They then have fear in their unconscious mind, fear about the stock market. But hey, I don't know how many listeners are out there, but did you know that since 2009, and we're in 2006, the stock market's been going up virtually most of that time. It's had corrections along the way, so then you move out. 7 years, and who's talking about the stock market? Nobody. But you could have bought Apple shares for 100 in 2009, and within 2 years, they were 700. You could have bought Crocs, a funny plastic, cloggy shoe company. The stock had gone from $72 in 2007 to 25 cents. If you bought and held, you'd be having some serious concerns because your money had gone down 99%. But then it all turned around. In 2009, that stock signaled a buy along with 46 other world stock markets at a dollar. And 3 years later, it was $32. It's like the resources sector now. Everyone's saying doom and gloom. Well, I can tell you, I have a list of 12 resources stocks, and quite a few of them in the gold and silver sector, which were the equivalent of 100 and are down at $1 and $2. So the upside for those stocks, and there is upside because world currencies are being devalued and people are getting negative interest rate in the bank. So more and more smart money is moving to gold and silver, which has been out of favor. So I believe there's one of the best wealth creation opportunities right now in that sector. And I see some of the world's billionaires are moving in that sector. And more recently, I found out that people like George Soros, he's put $300 million of his own money in that sector. So if the smart money's doing it and the trend looks like it's up, it's not a bad place to put at least some of your money, as long as you keep an eye on those trends, which is, you know, what my service does for people. It helps people and handholds for people.
Thanks very much for your insights there today. It's very enlightening. To finish up now, are you able to give us some tips to success in trading?
I would say go away and read some books. If anybody's interested in getting my book, Mastering Money, or The Truth Behind the Investing Game. The Truth Behind the Investing Game should be out in, I think it'll probably be about August. As one of your listeners, if they cover the postage packaging, if I have to send it, I'd send them a complimentary book. And just read about it and think about it. And then, you know, get mentored by somebody or work with somebody that's got the knowledge. I mean, I'm here in Sydney right now. I'm here a whole month learning about how my mind works and my subconscious mind at my age. because you can never stop learning. And, you know, I could go away and read about it, and which I have done, but I'm working with some guys who've done it for 35 years. They've explored everything. So I can condense in a month all their knowledge. So that's the best way. I mean, I decided that when I got back into this, that I would basically work. Once somebody's joined the Insiders Club, you know, I just get paid if they make money, which is not the normal financial thing. So, yeah, you just go and do some homework. They've obviously got your contacts if they want some more information. I think I've got a 17 trading tips thing, which I could send them. But if they'd like a copy of one of those books, if they just cover the posting packaging, that would be a start. And, you know, maybe go to the library or something like that. It's for some people, it's a brain shutdown. Like me, I don't like anything to do with technical things like how computers work or, you know, how an engine in a car works. But I love this business. I love doing the research. I have a whole team. I think I spend about $200,000 a year to different research companies to keep me informed. I don't need to employ, like I would have years ago, hundreds of analysts, because the other people got the analysts. I use the power of leverage. You know, one company that manages billions and I think their fee income is $200 million a year, they got about 40 analysts, and I pay them relatively peanuts for the brains of those 40 people, which I then look at that story and then see if the trends are turning positive. And then, depending on what service you're in, we then, you know, maybe give them buy signals for the clients. So we give buy signals for the clients. I then monitor it every day to see if the trend ever changes. And when it does, I send out sell signals. So, you know, you can learn by being handheld or go to some classes.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and your passion. And if the listeners want to find more about you or how to get in touch with you, or is this through your office?
Well, there's a website, grahambibby.com, which is a new website, or they could email. The best thing is they could email me, but it'd be better to email my personal assistant, Brenda, who's at PACEO@Richmond. RICHMONDTH, so TH is at the end of the Richmond.com, or obviously, I guess, through yourself. I'll just be, you know, only too pleased to help. I can review, we can review, you know, just free of charge again, you know, because, you know, and we're good friends. If someone's got a portfolio and they just don't know what to do, and they'd like a quick, you know, 20 minutes look at it, some feedback, quite happy to do that. And then, you know, if they want to know more, we could take it further.
Well, thanks. That sounds a great offer. If anyone, my listeners, want to take you up on that, thank you very much. And thanks again for giving us your time today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.